people there. China at that time was a city, a country under siege, and needed a rescuer, needed some folks to save China from foreign oppression. And this Chinese legend called Mulan tells the story of how somebody did just that, saved the Chinese from the foreign invaders. And you would be surprised to know that this person who rescued and saved this country was not a sculpted military man, wasn't a seasoned veteran of many wars, but was actually a fragile flower of a girl, a young, innocent woman named Mulan, who volunteered for battle in order to save her father's life. And as the legend continues, and as this movie unfolds, she indeed becomes the one who saves China. An incredible story, because the hero is not whom you would expect. There is great turmoil within the country, but the leader that is raised is someone who is unexpected. And I like this story because it is wonderfully paralleling so many of the great biblical heroes that we have grown to love. You know the story of that runt of the litter shepherd boy who was out in the fields while a battle was going on, and this scrawny little guy stepped up and defeated a giant and saved his people from foreign oppression. You know the story of an escaped convict who was running through the desert, through the wilderness, because he had killed an Egyptian, running for his life until he was confronted by a bush that was blazing but not consumed, who would one day rise up and save his people from slavery. You know the story of a young Jewish woman who was orphaned as a child, but then who rose up from nowhere to save her people from an evil Persian ruler. Time after time again, we hear and read in these stories characters like David and Moses and Esther, people who have come from unexpected places, unexpected people, to do incredible things. And so this morning we want to add one more to that list, a story of a person who was chosen unexpectedly to do some amazing things. The story of Amos, as you know, is one of the shorter books in the Bible, but it includes an incredible story. For Israel at that time was a nation in turmoil. It was vulnerable to foreign invaders. The gap between the wealthy and the poor was widening. The rich kept getting richer, the poor kept getting poorer. Its worship became corrupted as its people turned its eyes away from God. This was not a good time to be Israel. And God needed to send an incredible message to the people. A powerful message that would have them turn their eyes back again to the right way, the way they knew how to live. And where would God turn to find this messenger? Would God turn to the temples? To the temple to find a priest that had assembled there? No, God didn't. Did God go to the royal palace to find a strong ruler that people would obey and respect and fear? Not a chance. Did God go to the military barracks to find the most physically imposing person God could find to send a strong message to the people? Probably didn't even cross God's mind. Because true to form, God went to the unexpected place. Out into the fields. Out amongst the sheep, out amongst the sycamore trees, that's where God would find his messenger, a messenger named Amos, a person who himself he calls not a prophet, nor a prophet's son, He says in the passage that we read this morning, I'm just a herdsman. I just take care of sycamore trees. But God had a special plan for Amos. For God needed to send a message to people who needed to hear it, and Amos was God's guy. This was the message that Amos was to send to the religious and political leaders. Turn your eyes back to me. Or else, as it says in the scriptures, your wife shall become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be parceled out by line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land. God said to Amos, that's what I want you to tell everybody. Whoa. And it's not written in Scripture. But if I were to continue this dialogue in my mind, I would have to think Amos, this lowly shepherd boy, this gardener, had to respond with, you want me to do what? Come again? Let me hear that one more time. And our minds are filled with images of this scrawny little boy who's picked on in junior high, who was told by his mother to go and face those bullies, Biff and Henry. The little boy says, you want me to do what? Because Amos knew that if he were to take this message to Amaziah, the chief priest, and to the king, that Amaziah and the king would take him, stuff him in a locker or in a garbage can, and be done with it. You want me to do what? We have to ask ourselves, what was God thinking? Certainly a better person could have been chosen. We ask ourselves, what is God thinking when God today chooses the unexpected people to do remarkable things? Like a black woman who one day said, I will stand no more for this racial oppression. I will sit in this bus just like everybody else. Or this young boy who grew up on a farm who one day was called by God to preach to the masses and now leads crusades all across the world. Unexpected people to do amazing things. And just like Rosa Parks and Billy Graham, hundreds and hundreds of people are called by God. We realize that God has always operated in that way. When God has a powerful work to do, God calls the unexpected people. It was true then, and it is true now, that God does not start from the top of the list and work down. God starts with the bottom of this list that we have conceived and works to the top. For the least shall become first, and the first shall become last. For today we know that our world has so many parallels with the world of Amos back then. Violence and hatred run through our streets. Religious institutions become corrupt with selfishness and inward turning. There is so much within our world where God wants to send a messenger. Messengers, workers, to call the people back into the path that God has desired for them, back into the way of right living and right thinking and right acting, back into the way of right relating with one another. This powerful message of love is one that God so desperately needs to send to the people today, within the church and outside the church, and all God's looking for is an Amos. Someone who we wouldn't expect to be called by God. Someone who perhaps thinks that he or she needs seminary training. Or someone who thinks that we need just a little more time to grow. Or not quite to that point yet where we can actually do something. God is looking for you. God is looking for an Amos. Oprah Winfrey, whom you know is one of the top daytime talk show hosts in our country, recently gave an address to some graduating folks at Wesleyan University just last May. And with all that we know about Oprah, both from her show and from the tabloids in the newspaper aisles, you might be surprised to know that she is actually a faithful Christian, very devoted in her faith in God. And while it may not come across too many times in her show, certainly not in the tabloids, she took the opportunity in this commencement address to these graduates at Wesleyan to tell them a very simple message. The message that was the backbone of her entire speech. It was simply this advice, this call to the students. She told them, open yourselves up to the new possibilities that the Creator may be giving to you to serve one another. What a remarkable statement. By a woman who has it all. She has fame. She has power. She can send the cattle industry down to its knees with a single word. She is known by everybody in this country all over the world, and she has more money than probably she knows what to do with. But this woman who was called from humble beginnings shared that incredible statement with folks who were starting a new life after college. Open yourselves up to the new possibilities that the Creator might be giving you to serve one another. There is an Amos in our midst this morning. There are many Amoses in our midst. For God is calling you. And you may not realize your importance or your worth. You may not realize how valuable you are to God, no matter where you are in your life or where you are in your spiritual walk. But God is calling you. Why is God calling you? You might ask. Why does God choose the unexpected? Because God recognizes that there is value and worth in every person. And that God is a creative God who does not desire all Christians to be exactly the same. We are not spit out in some divine mold where we all act and think and do and relate alike. We have different interests and talents and abilities. We live in different social circles. We attract certain people. We have different worldviews, different perspectives, different creative capacities. And that's why God calls each one of us. Because God is always looking for something new. Some fresh way to tell the old, old story. Some novel way to reach out to someone who needs to be reached out to. And you are just that creative genius that God has been looking for. Because through Amos, God was able to send a new message. This shepherd, this gardener, was able to speak in terms of everyday objects like plumb lines, baskets of fruit, everyday images that people could understand. You are remarkably gifted, whether you know it or not. And that's what God is looking for. But not only does God call unexpected people, God calls at unexpected times. I imagine that if there were such a thing as a Smithsonian Institution that had artifacts from our favorite Bible stories, there would be a wing of this museum, and it would be called Interrupted by God. And within this wing, we would find the fishing net that Peter was using when called by Jesus. And we would find that yoke and that plow that Elisha was pushing with those oxen at the time that Elijah called Elisha to be his successor. We would find that sifting barn that Gideon was using to sift the wheat from the chaff at precisely the moment that God interrupted his work and said, I want you to save the people from the Midianites. We would find a little bit of ash from a burning bush. We would find a shepherd's staff or some garden shears that Amos was using. You might even find my medical biology textbook. And you would have something to offer too. Because now is the right time. The unexpected time is the time for God to call you. God is not waiting for you to go through 3 years of seminary education, to learn all of the great creeds of the church, to memorize every scripture by heart. God is not waiting for you to take a course in public speaking. What you have right now is useful to God. And whether it's unexpected time for you, it is the right time for God. It was the right time for God to call Amos and realize that it is the right time now for you to look for ways to serve your church, to serve your family, to serve your community, most of all to serve your God in whatever way that God has equipped you. The place long ago was Astley, Worcestershire, England in the mid-19th century. And in that small town in England was a young girl. You could tell she was young by her appearance, but you couldn't tell she was young by her abilities. Because she would dazzle her friends and her relatives with the way she would play the piano. A remarkable musician who was able at a young age to play the great classics. But as good as she was at a young age with her hands and the piano, how glorious she was with her voice. And what a remarkable future she had as a master pianist, as a musician, as a vocalist. She had the vibrant personality, the showmanship, and the ability to play in any of the great concert halls. But she was interrupted by God. And she would probably add her piano to that wing of our museum. Because God did the unexpected. God realized that there were people in her community that needed to hear the gospel. And God raised up this young woman to send that message. One time in a house, she was in a room full of 10 strangers whom she knew did not know God. And so she said a prayer that God would work in her to reach those people. And when she left that house, there were 10 new Christians in the kingdom of God. Later on in her life, she realized that because she was the daughter of a wealthy family, she had some incredible material possessions, and realized that there were those in her community who had none. So she took from her belongings all of the gold and all of the jewelry, expensive jewelry cabinets, and put them in boxes and sent them to her local church missionary house. She would later write to a friend that this moment she had never packed boxes with such great pleasure. And so as we learn about the life of Frances Ridley Havergal, we realize that she was an unexpected person who was called at an unexpected time to do an extraordinary thing. And we realize that her work has been used by a creative God in such a way that we still today recognize her efforts and her work. Turn in your hymnals, if you will, to hymn 399. It is our closing hymn for the morning, written in 1874 by Frances Ridley Havergal, who captured in this hymn her entire life, the passion that she had for her Christ, and the calling that she felt by God. Take a look at the first verse and the second line. The third line, sorry. This master pianist, the person who could play the great classics, said, "Lord, take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love." This incredible vocalist, who could sing with amazing beauty, said in the second verse, "Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee." And this woman who recognized that she had more possessions than she needed and could give them to those who needed it, said, "Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold." What would you add to that list this morning? You have much to offer to a creative God, and a God who needs to do some great work in this world and within this church. Will you take your talents, your energies, your passions, your interests, your relationships, and give them up to God, consecrated to our Lord? Because we know that God is counting on you to add to an amazing collection of people, of folks that He has called in extraordinary ways. Amos, David, Esther, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, and each of us. God is waiting for the moment that we can take the question, "You want me to do what?" and turn it into, "What do you want me to do?" In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.